I love these guys.
Well, welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. My name is John Drennan. I'm here with my good friend, Bill Radford. We are longtime Lions fans and started this journey last summer to take the journey to the Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions. Obviously, it didn't happen this year, but we're already going to be talking about next year, and maybe that's the year. But there's some news going on right now we want to talk about. A big part are the coaching changes going on in the NFL. Holy cow, Bill. We've never seen so many, you know, 10 head coach or 11, 10 or 11 teams getting head coaches and new coordinators becoming head coaches, and just a lot of pieces being moved around the chessboard in the NFL coaching world. And we got other things to talk about. Speaking of coaches, you might want to kick off with the news of Bill Belichick, but let me go to you for some initial comments.
Yeah, I do want to talk about Bill Belichick. It's just beyond me how, whether you like him or not, and there's plenty of people who don't, but he won 6 Super Bowls as a head coach. He won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants as a defensive coordinator. He has the second most wins ever by a head coach, and behind Shula, I think it is. And he's got the most playoff wins ever by a head coach. So how does that guy not get in on the first round? There has to be some lobbying done in that meeting. There are 50 people that vote, and you need 40 votes. So there is rumor that Bill Polian, who was with the Colts, lobbied against Belichick. And if he did, that's sour grapes. But you just have to wonder what people are looking at if Bill Belichick doesn't get in on the first round.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, Bill, and I don't have any idea how many players or coaches get in on the first try, but I mean, you know he's going to get in, and I agree with you. And some people might say, well, Tom Brady made him. Well, I don't buy that. I mean, obviously, Brady was incredible, and there's been talk of who made who, but there was a culture there that the head coach was responsible for, so.
Well, and Belichick is the one that picked Brady in the 6th round and elevated him to the starting quarterback. I mean, a lot of guys that get picked in the 6th round don't even ever make the team. But Belichick saw something in Brady that I remember hearing in an interview that he said, you know, we're looking at Brady and he's skinny and he's slow, and but the thing is, all he does is win. So, and that's all Belichick did, and that's what he was looking for, and he was right, and he took a flyer on him, and it sure panned out. So I don't think you can criticize Belichick for seeing something that nobody else saw.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just looked it up, Bill. There's been 5 head coaches or NFL coaches make it on the first ballot: Don Shula, Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, George Halas, and Curly Lambeau, and certainly Bill Belichick fits with that group. So yeah. Anyhow, it's a head scratcher.
Well, there's some coach movement. The one that sort of surprised me more than any of them, John, I don't know how you think about it, is the Pittsburgh Steelers hiring Mike McCarthy.
You know, when I heard that, Bill, I'm thinking, are we in the 90s? Right. I didn't know he was still around as a candidate. I mean, he certainly got a tremendous
track record.
Thank you. I was looking for another word, but yes, as a NFL coach.
I think the knock against him was they always did real well in the regular season with Dallas and then fell down in the playoffs. And I guess the criticism is that that's exactly what Mike Tomlin was doing. They always made the playoffs, but then they got knocked out in the first round. So,
And I just looked him up. He's a young man. You want to guess what his age is?
63.
62. Good guess. Yeah, I thought he'd been around longer. But yeah, I was surprised by that one.
He's still 10 years older, or 9 years older than Tomlin.
Right. Well, other coaching changes. There's right now, Bill, five coordinators have become head coaches. Jesse Minter is the head coach of the Ravens. He had been the defensive coordinator with the LA Chargers. Todd Monken had been the offensive coordinator with the Ravens. Now he's head coach of the Browns. Joe Brady was head or offensive coordinator for the Bills, and he's now the head coach of the Bills. And I'm still scratching my head on Bills getting rid of Sean McDermott. Jeff Hafley was a defensive coordinator for the Packers. He's now head coach of the Dolphins. And finally, Robert Saleh, who had coached the Jets for a few years and then last year was a D coordinator with the 49ers. He's now head coach of the Titans. And his offensive coordinator is Brian Daboll, who started this last season as the head coach of the Giants. Just a couple more things. Mike McDaniel, who a lot of people were high on becoming the OC for the Lions, is now the offensive coordinator of the Chargers. So, a lot of moving parts there in the NFL.
Yeah, the mentor hire is interesting. It was 2 years ago, calendar-wise, 2 years ago that mentor was celebrating the national championship for University of Michigan. And then when Harbaugh left, he took him to the LA Chargers with him. He was with them for 2 years, and now he's the head coach of the Ravens. So he's had quite an ascension in a very short period of time.
Yeah, and at one point he was on John Harbaugh's staff with the Ravens. And I think it was John Harbaugh who kind of encouraged his brother Jim to hire Jesse to
Yeah.
be the Michigan coordinator. So.
And the Hafley hire by the Dolphins is good for the Lions.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he's their offensive coordinator, and if they have to adjust the way the Lions had to adjust this year, although I think LaFleur, does he call the plays?
Well, let's back up. Jeff Hafley was the D coordinator
Oh, I'm
for the
sorry. Well,
Packers.
they
They
had
had
a
a
good
great
defense
defense.
too, right?
And it's Flores who he's the D coordinator for the Vikings.
Right.
That gives the Lions fits. Although Goff's done pretty well against that up till this year.
So, are you encouraged by the Lions' hires, their offensive coordinator, and this the Giants coach?
I actually am. The first hire we talked about it last week. They hired Drew Petzing, who had been the offensive coordinator with the Cardinals, and they hired him as their offensive coordinator. And I had never heard of him, but the things I've learned about him, I think this is a good fit, and he did well with the Cardinals given the pieces he had to work with. But then I was very surprised, Bill, this last week they've hired Mike Kafka, who was the OC for the Giants and then took over when they fired Brian Daboll during the season. But if you remember, the Giants gave the Lions fits at Ford Field, and they looked very good on offense, and a lot of talk was being made of Kafka during that game. Now, he doesn't have an official title yet, Bill. Other than kind of high level offensive coach. So it's going to be interesting to see, when you have a new offensive coordinator, then you bring in someone like Kafka on the offensive side, is that going to work out? Sometimes I think you get too many chefs in the kitchen,
Yeah.
but I like they're bringing in this brain power, so we shall see.
Right. I remember that Giants game. They had the throwback pass to Jameis Winston. You remember that?
I do, and Winston looked like a Heisman candidate again in that game.
Yeah.
They
He
had,
was
I think, 500 plus yards.
throwing it all over the lot, and he scored a touchdown. Stiff armed the D back on his way in.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. So,
And the Lions were fortunate to win that game.
and they won it in that overtime when Jahmyr Gibbs had that great run.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, we're now in that time where obviously there's one game left. We'll talk about the playoffs here in a minute. But we're in that time of year where, teams are getting their coaches in order and then getting ready to add to and change your roster. I want to go through something I think might be interesting to our listeners. And that is the NFL schedule. So this week was the East-West Shrine Bowl game. They've been practicing, and the game was last night. So that's seniors from all over the country. Now we're in the Senior Bowl practice week, and the Senior Bowl is January 31st. So that's this coming Saturday. Well, then we go to February. The Pro Bowl games, February 3rd, Pro Bowl games, I should say. That's kind of silly. It's flag football and stuff, but it's part of the NFL year. February 5th, NFL Honors and Awards Show. February 17th, Franchise and Transition Tag Window opens. And February 23rd through March 2nd, NFL Combine. March 3rd, franchise transition tag deadline. So these are designations that teams give players during that window. March 9th through 11, free agency legal tampering. That starts. It says that's where teams can begin negotiating with agents of players. I think that's going to be a big deal for the Lions this year, Bill. March 11th, new league year start of free agency, March 29th to April 1st, NFL league meetings. Then in April 15th, NFL draft visit deadline. Off-season program begins later in April. Then the NFL draft, April 23rd through 25th. So that's something to put on the calendar. But it keeps going. May 1st, fifth year option deadline for 2023 first round picks. I mean, this is stuff I didn't even know was a thing. Then the rookie mini camps are in May. NFL schedule comes out in May. NFL spring league meetings are in May. And then the OTAs are in May and early June. Then we get into the mini camps and then the training camp. So there's stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the free agency, John, because I know this is going to change because some players will be let go, some players will be signed by other teams. But I was looking at the salary cap for each team, basically the cap space, what they have left to spend. And the Titans have $81 million effective cap space. They're number one. The Seahawks have 56 million, which is a little surprising. You get all the way down to the Lions, and they are 21 million in the red. So they're 21 million over. So they're going to have to shed some. They're going to have to shed some salary if they want to sign anybody.
Yeah, I thought they were about 9 million in the black, so that's news to me.
Well,
But
I thought so too, John. I read something earlier that had them 17 million cap space, but here it's saying 17 million or 16 million something in the red.
I just pulled it up, an AI version that says they're 4.3 million to 13.3 million in cap space right now, ranking them 20th. So, but I think I talked about last week, Bill, I saw somebody who's a Lions kind of expert who made a suggestion of how they could free up and get to 100 million in cap space and use that on different free agents and signings and so on. And they can free up cap space by redoing contracts to change how the money's paid, salary versus bonus versus yada yada. I don't know it all, but and they can also, like, there's a question, will Frank Ragnow retire? If he does, that's going to free up a lot of cap money. And different moves like that. So, and I only say that because they're going to have options to make moves once they play with the cap space, and they need those moves.
Well, right now they have the fourth, according to this, they have the fourth highest active cap spending. So the three teams ahead of them are the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Cowboys are spending more money than the Lions. Surprisingly, the Seahawks are spending almost 100 million less than the Lions. And I'm
You're looking
looking
for the
for,
Patriots.
yeah.
And while you're looking, we might have some listeners saying, these guys don't know what the heck they're talking about. They sound like fans. Well, we are fans, and
That's who they are.
we stay in touch and look this stuff up, and obviously there's different sources.
Yeah, 290 million is what the Patriots are spending. And the Seahawks are spending 243 million right now. So yeah, so they're going to have to make some adjustments. But you're right. I don't think Skipper is going to be back.
He's retired.
Right. It doesn't look like Ragnow is coming back.
Nope.
I've heard that they may cut Decker.
If he doesn't retire first, yeah.
Right. So there's probably going to be a lot of room, but they got to fill those spots with other people. Not like the good old days where if you had a generous owner, you could just go out and buy it.
Yeah, so definitely we're going to have changes to the roster. I'm excited to see what that is. I sure hope they get a rock solid center in free agency. There should be a few available. So, it'll come down to the money and the fit. And then, in the draft, we talked about this last week, if their safeties all are healthy next year, we don't need to draft a safety, but that's a huge if. We might need to draft a couple safeties.
Right.
We obviously need a stud edge rusher opposite Hutch. We obviously need help on that old line. And if Anzalone's gone, we may need a linebacker in free agency or the draft. So, but they got to build that offensive line, Bill. I want to see them pour resources into having an offensive line that just knocks the snot out of people.
Yeah, I'm I. That's what I want too. The unfortunate thing is Most teams do
Yeah.
want that. So they're going to be competing with other teams who are looking for the same thing. You're talking about the Senior Bowl and the Pro Bowl. Those games don't mean what they used to. The Senior Bowl used to be sort of a showcase for all the best college players, but now the best college players don't go. They don't want to go and get injured and ruin their draft status. So I doubt that you'll see any projected first round picks in the Pro Bowl or the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, but I think what's good about that, Bill, is it gives the second, third day picks a chance, to
Oh,
really
yeah,
showcase. And
absolutely.
that, I think that's where great teams really make their money, is those, not the first and second rounds, but those later rounds. Amon-Ra St. Brown, a fourth round pick.
Absolutely. But then the Pro Bowl. How is Shedeur Sanders a Pro Bowl quarterback?
Well, to me, the Pro Bowl is a joke. And when they used to play it was a joke, because the players, they didn't want to get hurt. What can you do in a couple weeks of practice? And so
Right.
I think the fact they name players to be able to say, hey, I made the Pro Bowl. But you're right, it was Shedeur Sanders being named, that just kind of knocks all the integrity out of it. So.
Yeah, as if it didn't wasn't already on thin ice, that integrity wise,
Yeah, I agree.
that sort of sunk him.
Hey, Bill, let's talk about this last weekend. We had two very different playoff games. Of course, the Patriots in Denver, and the weather changed in 2 hours, what looked like a 2 week change in weather. And so that game was one story. Then you had the battle of the Slugfest with Seattle and the Rams, very different kind of game. So, what are your thoughts first on the Patriots Denver game?
Well, I really felt bad for Jarrett Stidham because, I mean, he made the one glaring mistake that gave Denver, I mean, gave the Patriots their only touchdown. Other than that, I thought he did okay, but I was disappointed in Sean Payton's coaching. They should have kicked a field goal. If they weren't going to kick a field goal, they should have run a better play to get a yard. They dropped back pass, and their offensive line was a sieve. Two defensive linemen for the Patriots were on Stidham before he even set up. So I just thought going up 10-0 in the second quarter, and the Patriots hadn't done anything offensively. And the Broncos have a really good defense, and they should have known the weather was coming. I think we texted each other during the game. I said, this is either arrogant or stupid, and you said both. So, but yeah, as you know, I picked Denver. Even though it was Stidham, and I was looking pretty good there for a while, but you picked the Patriots, so you're going to win the season on the playoff picks because you're one ahead right now.
Well, if I've got it correct, you're 11-3. That's pretty darn good. And I'm 12-2.
Which
And we're
is
both going to pick Seattle, I think, in the Super Bowl. So, yeah,
right.
we both did a good job. And the two games that, I took a real leap thinking Houston might win theirs. And that was one that cost me. But, you picked the Packers over the Bears. That was a flip of the coin. And I think Denver and Patriots was a bit of a flip of the coin. I just went with the Patriots when Bo Nix was out. And I think Stigman, Stig, Stigham,
Stidham.
Stidham,
Stidham.
thank you, Stidham. I really never heard of him, but I think he did a good job. And Bill, I so agree with you. I mean, Sean Payton had a chance to be up two scores. He's got a great defense. He's at home. The weather's coming. And I just thought a two score lead might be all it takes. And turns out that would have been the case. I mean, that field goal. What, they lost by three, right?
Yeah, but Stidham's mistake gave him their only touchdown.
Right.
So those two
Right.
plays, if Stidham doesn't, I mean, he said he was trying to throw it away, but why? It's third down, you're gonna punt. What difference does it make if you punt from the line of scrimmage or 10 yards back? You're gonna punt. So you just eat it, take the sack, and move on. Because the Patriots weren't able to go down the field and get a touchdown.
Yeah, so, and then I think you said something about Sean Payton got out coached. You text me that, and I replied, that's a statement that's not written very often. But I
No, you're
agree.
right. But
I
it's, but
agree.
it, yeah.
All right. Well, and then the slugfest. Bill, I looked up the quarterback ratings for the LA Seattle game. Matthew Stafford had a 127.6 rating. Sam Darnold 127.8.
Wow.
Stafford threw 22 for 35, 334 yards, three touchdowns. Darnold 25 of 36, 346 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, both just great numbers against really good. I mean, both those teams have really good defenses. Other interesting numbers. Puka Nacua, 9 catches for 165 yards. Smith for Seattle, 10 catches, 153 yards. And then the best rushers, Walker, 19 runs for 62 yards. And Michigan's Blake Corum, 9 rushes, 55 yards. But the
And
two things that really show up. The Rams were 1 of 8 on third down conversion, and they lost one fumble, that one turnover. You know, turnovers make the difference so often.
that I felt sorry for that kid muffing the punt like that. I mean, if he just gets out of the way and lets it drop, you know, they're probably worst case scenario. They have the ball on the 20, probably. Maybe they kill it inside the 10, but that was really unfortunate for the Rams.
Yeah.
The other thing that this goes to coaching again with McVay is Rams came right down the field and got a touchdown and made it 31-27. I think that was the score at the time. Anyway, they were 4 points behind. And with the extra point, if they go for two there and make it, then they only need a field goal there at the end when they missed on fourth and goal from the five. So I just think that if they go for two and get it, that's a tie game. We're going to overtime. And if they miss it, they still need a touchdown either way. So I didn't understand why not go for two?
Well, why aren't you and I in some of these coaching staffs?
Well,
We
we
scratch
pretend to
our
know
heads a
stuff after
lot.
the fact. We're doing pretty good on the picks, though. I gotta say that.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like every year we have, you know, pretty consistently. So, all right, folks. Well, there's a lot of moving parts here. You know, we'll be coming back every week. We may take a week or so off here in the off season, but There's always something going on. We know a week from now we'll be talking about different coaching movements in the NFL, and probably hear more about what's the direction Lions are going in rebuilding this roster, and maybe we'll get some updates on how injuries are progressing and so on.
And we'll
So,
make our Super Bowl picks.
yes, we will. So, you got anything else? Any other words of wisdom here, friend?
Not today. I'm all out.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week and appreciate our listeners and appreciate you, Bill. See you in a week.
All right. Bye, John.